The Workday Replay from Money FM 89.3.
With the gig economy upon us and the fast-changing technological scene, workers now have the choice to seek out what they desire for their careers. And career management's no longer an employer's responsibility, but a genuine option catered to each individual. What does this mean for workers and employers alike? We'll find out from Samantha Buttle, who's Managing Director of Kabloom Group. She's going to tell us how the future of work in Asia is evolving. Sam, thanks so much for coming this morning.
Thank you. Great to be here.
We're happy to have you. We've heard a lot about the future of work. Maybe help us out with the definition. What exactly is it?
I think this is where the challenge is, that no one really knows where the future of work is going. They just know it's changing. So digitalization, differing needs from clients, differing needs from economies, means that jobs will change. Lifespans of skills are predicted to reduce to about 5 years. Things are evolving quite rapidly. And lifespans of workers are changing, etc. So the future of work changes, but in a way that no one's really able to predict. And the people that tell you that they can can't. Yeah, pretty much. They're predicting what they think they know, but things change so rapidly that you just don't know those things. So
the fears have been warranted that some employees have, that digitalization is going to leave them without a job.
I think it depends where you sit on the scale of fear. Okay, it may not leave them without a job. It may leave them with a different job. So I think the scaremongers that talk about this talk about, you know, robots taking over the world. The reality is that people still need to deal with how to make the robots work, and you will still always need personal interactions. It's just that the types of work will change. And so what we're trying to focus on is helping people get ready for that change, and what organizations are focusing on is that. But it's not just this, you know, big apocalypse of all the world's jobs are going to go away because robots are going to come in and take over, which I think is where some of the more dramatic news articles take this kind of conversation.
I remember reading an article about how a survey was done maybe a bit long time ago, was in 2014, that the only job that really was lost over time has been the elevator operator. Nothing else has really been lost over time. But let's talk about what workers can do to sort of get prepared for this change. Because you also mentioned that change has been so quick, the pace of it. How can we know what to learn? Yeah. How can we know what to be prepared for something we don't know about that's coming?
So I think for us, it's very much about how you get yourself into an agile state of readiness and learning. So it's not necessarily always going, okay, so in the next 10 years, I want a career path that takes me from here to there. The career ladder, as it was, as we think, is dead as a concept. What you see more, some people talk about career jungle gyms and people having to sort of navigate those. We think actually to get ready for the future, you need to think of yourself a bit more like a career ninja warrior. Like, how do you build the skills to adapt and change, right? So as funny as that sounds, it's very much going in and saying, who am I today? What do I know? Where is my life stage? How do I think about the things that I enjoy, the things that I want to learn more about? And how do I get access to that information early enough? To your point, I think in the opening statement, the question is, like, where does the ownership of careers lie? And if we sit as individuals waiting for someone else to tell us what to do, that's where we're going to get sideswiped. So how do we change that conversation? How do we get empower individuals and give them access to resources in a way that's distilled so that they can process that information to get them ready?
But at the risk of sounding lazy, yeah, I do feel as though some of the onus is on an organization too to get their people ready to some degree. So maybe a 50-50 partnership. The organization has a look at what you're doing, what you could be doing in the future. You are keeping an eye on it too, sort of a partnership in your learning journey.
Yes, totally. I'm not suggesting that an organization should never think about the employee's development and the employee should drive it all. But there's always a reality that an organization will be looking at how you develop employees for the good of the organization to some degree. What we're saying is that it does need to be a 50-50 partnership, as yeah, you rightly say, so that the employees are also thinking about how best they can develop for the organization, but also for their full life. Right? Development isn't just about a skill that you learn to do a job. It's about how you become the best person you can be as an individual, no matter what stage of life you're in.
Let's bring Boldly into play. It is Kabloom's learning experience platform. Tell us a bit more about it and how it helps in this regard.
Yeah, so Boldly's been our brainchild over the last couple of years, and it pretty much stemmed from some conversations we were having as HR practitioners when we were being tasked with things like, how do you make career management feel personal? How do you engage employees within an organization? I remember at one point I was talking about a job that the task was, okay, you've got 20,000 people across the region. How do you make all of those people feel like you care? And particularly about their careers. As we mused on this, we realized that doesn't really exist at the moment. So you need something that...
Unless you have 20,000 HR practitioners.
Yes, unless you have 20, that's a good point. But show me an organization that will hire that many HR practitioners. So what we needed, what we were thinking about was, how do we look at something that facilitates individual learning, something that's hyper-personalized enough so it touches you, so that as an individual, you want to use it, that you feel that it's of value to you, but also that gives you a platform for learning, for development, for onward growth, and gives organizations a way to build at scale knowledge about skills and people's career aspirations and facilitates those conversations. So this is where Boldly comes in. So Boldly is our tech platform that does that. We call it a learning experience platform just because there isn't really an equivalent piece of tech that we've come across in the marketplace yet. So the titling of it's quite difficult. We equally sometimes will talk about it as career management tech as well. So what it does is targeted at the user, so at the end user. As an individual,
which would be the HR practitioner or the employee?
The employee, okay. Or the individual, like in the general world. So how do I have something in front of me that knows me enough, knows what my current stage, my current goals, my aspirations are, to feed me information in a way that is useful and valuable to me, that feels personalized? And we've built this off the premise of watching user behavior around things like LinkedIn, MyFitnessPal, the Facebook feed approach. So Boldly has this principle of this feed. Things can be dropped into the feed, and that feed is very customized to you as an individual and your personal learning stage. And that might be that I'm in this job today and I want to go to this job tomorrow. It might be that my life stage is changing and I'm about to become a first-time mum. It might be that I'm a 50-year-old male executive and my job is about to significantly shift underneath me and I need to think about how to reskill. So once you've sort of filled in that part of your life stage, then it would be feeding you development resources. So you weren't having to go out and spend hours Google searching
scouring the internet for these things. How then, though, will this particular platform know enough to be personalized? You have to feed it that relevant information first.
Yeah.
To the point of what industry you're in.
Yeah.
Also the life stage you said earlier, what sort of job scope you have.
Yeah. So it's got a few different elements that feed that. Part of it is just some goal setting activities, some activities that we fit in, feeding in there and are continuing to build and evolve that knows this. It's also backed by a very extensive skills database and job database. So we've pulled together some of the biggest job databases that we've come across in the world, merged them, cleaned them up, put some skills behind them so that you can go in and start to look at choosing those so you can see the skills. And then also we've used the whole platform is embedded using coaching principles. So you'll be asked questions like you would be being asked by a coach at a very light stage in terms of what are the things that you find that you enjoy, how do you look at success. These things will make the system itself get to know you a little bit more.
Okay, good. Not existential questions, yeah. I'm hoping.
No, not existential questions.
How then are you going to keep privacy issues in check, or security for people? It's top of mind these days.
Yeah, definitely. And so we're working, as we're building the platform, we're making sure we're looking at some of the highest data protection legislation to make sure that we're fitting in line with that. We're also talking when we look at, so there's two different elements to data privacy as well when you look at it as an end user. So this effectively is your profile and you might take it to another job with you, to another life stage. So But when you're in an organisation may want to feed you certain information. So building that architecture out so we can put those data privacy controls and we are clear with the individuals on what they will use and how it will, the data will be used is quite important to us, whilst also obviously building the tech architecture around that to make sure it's safe.
So we're hearing all these great things for the individual. Help us out with how Boldly is approaching HR tech learning and development differently, say, from other organisations using machine learning.
Yeah, so I think there's two elements to that question. One is how are we approaching HR tech differently, and how is machine learning going to make that even better? The approaching HR tech is, to date, most of the HR tech that we come across seems to be targeted at building efficiency into a HR process. So streamlining an onboarding process, getting more access and streamlining recruitment processes.
Personality tests to sort of weed out as many as you can as quickly as you can.
Yeah. So it's built from the perspective of the organization. How do you make these things easier, with the sideline being that then creates a better user experience, a better employee experience? So as a starting principle, we've flipped that. And our primary thing is, how do we make the user experience, the end user, as the starting design principle for the piece of tech? So instead of HR going to you and saying, here is a piece of tech you have to use, how do we look at people's natural behaviour with how they interact with technology to make them want to open that app every day, to make them want to look at it? Because then that creates a very powerful communication tool and a very powerful tool for an organisation in terms of collecting data. Most of the issues with HR tech is that it doesn't get used in the best way. I joke quite a lot with, when I've been in organisations and with clients, that, you know, people buy these wonderful pieces of tech. It's like you go out and you buy a Lamborghini and then they use it like they're pulling a horse and cart. So they never change the processes and the behaviour around the piece of tech to get the best out of the tech. So we're trying to look at it and use what we know about psychology, organisational behaviour, to do that differently. How does machine learning and AI help that? Is very much by us embedding that into looking at the way you use it as a user and continuing to iterate that process. So the whole point is, I need to hook you in so you keep coming back. So if you are reading short articles more frequently than reading big journal articles, then the machine learning learns that that's your learning style and starts to feed you things that you're more likely to read. If you like to listen to podcasts, it will start to find that and curate those resources for you.
But you know, people are flaky, Samantha. Sometimes you feel like you're in the mood for a podcast. Sometimes you feel like you're in the mood for a shortened article. Sometimes not.
Yes, this is true. And I think then we will be enabling ways for people to request different types of feed that comes into them. So there's always that ability to have voice and say, please, can you give me more of? But the machine learning and AI is just trying to track the trends of how the system's being used, both from a making it more user-friendly, but also to make sure it's as efficient as it can be as a system and effective.
How can we check it out, Boldly? I assume everyone can use it. Anyone can use it.
Yeah, it's you can search for it online and find it. We've got Facebook pages, social media pages coming through, and obviously contacting us at Kabloom Group. We can give people, individuals and organisations alike, more information.
Looks like I know what I'll be doing during the break. Samantha Buttle is Managing Director of Kabloom Group, today talking about Boldly, which is their learning experience platform. Samantha, thanks for coming today.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.